Well, good afternoon, everyone. We are tonight looking at part three of our four-part message series called Small Things Make a Big Difference. And if you've missed any of the messages, you can log on to our website and go to the podcast page and catch up with the series. Or even if you've missed the Christmas series, you can log on. They're all up there now. Everything's been refreshed and everything's brand new there. So www.newstart.org.au, and you can pick up some of those messages. So there's a great passage in Scripture that epitomises and exemplifies the paying attention to small details. And we've been looking at this Scripture and launching from this Scripture every week since the first Sunday of January. So there is a great passage, and paying attention to small things always makes a big difference. And Solomon tells us that, but Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15 tells us, catch us the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. In other words, to achieve a successful outcome, to achieve a full harvest, attention needs to be paid to the small things of life. Solomon's proverb is very practical. If you want a full and a profitable harvest, then catch up those little foxes, the little fox cubs that suckle on the moisture of the tender blossoms. And once those blossoms are destroyed, the vineyard harvest is lost. And in an ancient culture, as we talked about last week, the knock-on effect financially and socially is just unthinkable. In today's application, Solomon is saying, catch up those little bad habits. Catch up those little sins. Catch up those addictions. Catch up those mindsets. Because the small things of life make a big difference to the future of your life. And so succeeding in the small things tonight has a lot to do with the little things, particularly our thoughts, our words, and our actions. So let me underline that by saying this as we enter into our message tonight. I honestly believe that as we look at what some would call really simple principles, and if you would apply this, you will look back on your life years from now and see a tremendous difference because of what God does in your life, even this night He can do in your life. And I honestly believe it's absolutely and completely a very real possibility that God can change your life if you attend to the small things. That when you make some small changes, you'll see a big difference. In fact, that's our key thought for this message series, that so often you look at people who have everything together, or they have things that you don't have, and they have accomplished things that you haven't accomplished, and you wonder, what big things are they doing that I'm not doing? And the key thought for this pulpit series is, it's often the small things that nobody sees that result in the big things that everybody wants. In fact, last week we talked about a well-known quote. Last week we dealt with our thoughts and why our thoughts matter so much. Because our thoughts influence our words influence our actions become our habits, and our habits create a destiny or create a future. It's the small things that impact our life tonight in a very, very big way. And so tonight I want to talk to you about the power of your words. John 1:1 through to 14 is a very, very powerful piece of scripture. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So when God created the world, He did it with the spoken word. Psalm 33 verse 9 says, for He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Hebrews 11 verse 3 tells us that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. In other words, the universe was formed by the Word of God. Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So the Bible is very clear. When God speaks, He has the ability to create. And the Bible is so clear on the fact that we are created tonight in God's image. So our words that we speak are incredibly powerful. In fact, in our text, King Solomon points out, and sorry, I didn't tell you what the text was, did I? Proverbs chapter 18, sorry. There you go. So in our text, King Solomon tells us and points out to us that words are incredibly powerful. He points out the power of words, and he says the tongue has massive power. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And so the words that we speak can either be life-giving words, or the words we speak can either be life-taking words. So here's the important thought for you tonight. If you want to change the life that you have, you need to change the words that you speak. Because small things, even in the words that you speak tonight, can make a big difference in the life that you live. The Apostle James says this over, he said this over 2,000 years ago. If you're not a church person, you might be saying, well, who's the Apostle James? Now, the Apostle James is the best evidence that Jesus was the Son of God, because the Apostle James was Jesus' brother. And if you could convince your brother that you were the Son of God, then you'd be doing a really good job, wouldn't you? Yeah, so that's the best proof, they reckon. Even his brother believed he was the Son of God. So, and I don't know how your relationship is with your brother. That's a bit of pulpit humor there for you, okay? So here it is. So this is what Jesus' brother said, okay? James chapter 3, verses 3 to 5, it says, we put a small, notice the small, I'm highlighting the small tonight. We put a small piece of metal in the mouth of a horse to make it obey us. We can control the whole animal with it. How about ships? They are very big and they are driven along by strong winds, but they are steered by a very small rudder. It makes them go where the captain wants to go. In the same way, the tongue is a small part of a person's body, but it talks big. Think about how small a spark can set a big forest on fire. So there's the power of life and death in our words tonight. And you can speak life-giving words and you can speak life-taking words tonight. For example, if you show me a marriage that's struggling, I can guarantee you what you'll see is you'll see a lot of life-taking words. On the other hand, if you show me a marriage that's doing well, I promise you, you will see an abundance of life-giving words. If there's someone that you don't like to be around, they might make you feel small, or they might make you feel unimportant. It might be your boss, and it drives you crazy. I guarantee you, at the heart of that whole relationship, you'll find an abundance of life-taking words. The flip side of that is if there's someone you love to be around because they build you up, and at the heart of that, you'll probably find an abundance or plenty of life-giving words. In fact, King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he contrasted many times the difference between life-giving words and life-taking words. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, it said, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Or other translations say, bring life-giving. The tongue of the wise is life-giving. So words have the power of life and death. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4 says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but the perverse tongue crushes the spirit. I think it would be safe to say that at some point in our life here, everyone here, some point in their life, you have had your spirit crushed by life-taking words, right? We all know what that feels like. It can be as meaningless as when someone looks at you and says, did you mean to get your hair cut like that? Yeah, I've had that once before. And you're like, what do you mean? I just got it done, you know? I just paid a lot of money to get this done, you know? And or here's the clangor that I heard. why aren't you married at this age in your life? And that poor person was so hurt, they just wanted to say, get stuffed. Or the hurt could be something much, much more intentional, with words like, I can't stand you. I found somebody else. I never loved you anyway. You're pathetic. I wish I never had you. So life-taking words pierce like a sword and crush the spirit. On the other hand, many of you have been blessed by life-giving words. I'm so proud of you. You're the best of the best. I'd marry you over again. You're my dream come true. I'm so thankful God has put you in my life. And that stuff just builds you up, doesn't it? Just builds you up. There's something about life-giving words that bring healing to the soul. There's nothing wrong tonight with having a cheer squad, okay? There's nothing wrong. It's a good thing to have a cheer squad. And what I want to do tonight is help you with an audit of your words. We did this last week with our thoughts. And last week we looked at our thoughts and we did a thought audit. But I want to look at the words that we speak. And I want to ask yourself this very important question. Am I speaking more life-giving words or life-taking words to other people? And then I want you to think about the words that you speak to yourself. So let's start with other people. How do you speak to other people? Let's use some graphics to help us and map out our speech audit. So on the chart that's up, yep, there it is, there's two polar opposites there. And I want you to think about what you actually say. On the first chart, you will see how you speak to others. Okay, how do you speak to others? All right, do you speak life-giving words or do you speak life-taking words? And so there's a gradient from 1 to 10. And if you speak more life-giving words, you know, words like, if you speak more life-taking words tonight, words like, you didn't do a good job, why is your room so messy? I can't stand that. I'm always, why do you always leave up the toilet seat? You know what I mean? You're pathetic. You make me crazy. You drive me nuts. I'd wish I'd never... dot, 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 dot. You can finish the sentence. If that's you, I want you to mentally circle a 1, 2, 3, or 4 somewhere down there. Grade yourself with that. Just mentally circle that in your mind. If on the other hand you speak more life-giving words, you know, I'm so proud of you, you're the best husband or you're the best wife, I thank God for you, you know what, that was an incredible meal that you cooked, or you've done a great job. So take a moment and be really honest and mentally circle what you think represents the words that you use for others, okay? What represents the words you use for others? Life-taking or life-giving? Now let's talk about our words to ourselves. Our words to ourselves. Are your words to yourself more life-taking or are they more life-giving? Think about the inner talk, your inner dialogue, what you say in your mind to yourself. Do you say more life-taking words? Like, man, you're going to blow this, you're no good, you're stupid, your life's always going to go bad, this is going to be a tough day, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, things never work out for me, I never get the breaks. If that's you, mentally circle a lower number, all right, is that what you do? Do you run yourself down mentally, in your inner dialogue? Do you run yourself down? If on the other hand you say, you know what, God is with me, God is going to bless me, I'm so thankful for this day, we're going to nail this. This is going to be a great day. With Christ, I can do all things because he gives me strength. If that's you, mentally circle a higher number, okay? If you didn't put a 10 on both of the charts, guess what? There's tremendous room for improvement, isn't there? Huh? Why? Because there's power in words. That's why, because there's power in words. If you want to change the life you have, change the words that you speak tonight. Making small changes in the words you speak will bring big difference, will bring a massive difference to the life that you live. Our words have the power of life and our words have the power of death. So let me give you two very powerful rules. about life-giving words. The first rule, let's have a look at the first one. I'm going to sound like your mother right now, and I have no apologies about this, about sounding like your mother, because your mother was always right, okay? When she said, if you can't say anything at all, don't say anything at all, okay? If you can't say something helpful at all, don't say anything at all. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. If you can't say something wholesome, don't say anything at all. If you can't say something decent, don't say anything at all. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to the needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, man alive tonight, man alive, if that doesn't convict some of you, then you're not paying attention tonight, okay? Don't let anything unwholesome, come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. Some of you, if you just applied that one verse to your life, to your marriage, to your parenting, to your work relations, to your friendships, then your whole time in this church meeting was incredibly worthwhile, okay? The King James Version says, if you can't say something helpful, then shut thy cake hole, okay? Seriously. If you can't say anything wholesome or decent or helpful, what? Shut your mouth, yeah? If you can't say something helpful, close it, bite it, zip it, yeah? Don't say anything at all. Very simple, very direct. It's a very simple, direct rule. Number one, if you haven't got something wholesome or decent to say, what do? Zip it, okay? The second rule, if you think something is good, say it. This is a rule that I'm working on myself, and I'm trying to apply this and live this out in my own life. Anytime I think something is good about someone, about God, about myself, about my circumstances, I want to give it life, right? Life-giving words, give it life by saying it. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Gracious words are like violet crumble, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Notice King Solomon didn't say, gracious thoughts are like honeycomb. What did he say? Gracious words. Not thoughts, words. I can have good thoughts about you all day long. I can have good thoughts about you all the time. But that doesn't mean anything till I set them free. Then words have power and they give life and they give blessing like honeycomb. Anytime you think something good, say it. I met a bloke some 4 years ago in a uni lecture that I was attending, and I'll call him Larry for the sake of the exercise. And he was in his late 40s, and life had really put Larry through the ringer. He neglected a back injury, which then damaged his body to the point where he became disabled. He lost his business, and in losing his business, he lost his family's main income. Or the main source of their income. He jumped from counsellor to counsellor looking for answers to not to his pain, but to the misery and the mishap of his life. So I struck up a bit of a friendship with Larry. But at times it was really hard to negotiate that friendship because of all the negative self-talk that he had put on a tape loop in his head. And he was always talking himself out of any success that he might be able to achieve. And about 2 years ago, I started to encourage him, and I started to use gracious words with him. And I started to say wholesome things. And about 6 months into that encounter with him, into that encouragement encounter, his grades started to turn around. He went from a borderline pass student to getting credits and then to getting distinctions. And I never forget the day that he got his first high distinction. And he was jumping up and down. He was over the moon. You never seen a bloke like it. It was fantastic. But Larry wasn't a whinger. He wasn't a sook. He don't get me wrong. He wasn't that, you know, that sort of sooky la-la thing. He had just let his thought life and his words become unwholesome. And he needed a mate, he needed a companion to lead him away from that deception and those lies. And I remember last November, just gone, I went to his graduation event, and he got his bachelor's degree in pastoral care. And afterwards we hugged and we laughed, and then he told me that he had gotten a 9-month internship at the Peter McCallum Cancer Centre in the city in East Melbourne. I remember 2 years prior, that was his dream position. 2 years prior to that was his dream position, but back then he had already talked himself out of any chance of that. Now he's totally reinvented his whole life. He's reinvented his whole identity. He has his dream position and a 2-unit credit if he wants to go on and do a master's degree in pastoral care. And 5 years before, he was a washed-up painter and decorator who just lost his business. There are two thoughts in all of that. Number one, God is a God of second chances. Don't forget that. But two, I still wonder, what if I hadn't stopped and offered Larry words of life? My point is this, words are so powerful tonight. When you think something's good, send a text, post a comment, you know, pick up the phone and call them, write a note, write a card to them. Make it a rule of life. Make it your life rule that you will release words of blessing, words of life, life-changing words. If you want to change your relationships, every time you think something good, say it. Make it a rule. Don't ever hold a blessing back. Don't rob that person of that blessing. Every time you think it, say it. Now, there are two aspects to all that. Don't just say it to other people, right? That's one aspect. The other aspect is say it to yourself. Because if you remember your word audit that you did before, I reckon that many of you are saying some very negative things to yourself. You're speaking life-taking words to your own spirit, aren't you? And that's a stupid thing to do. Let's look at King David's story. There was a time in 1 Samuel chapter 30 where things didn't go well for King David, and basically the people had turned against him. And they were actually speaking of killing him and executing him. But in 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6, it says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." And every now and then, for me personally, I've got to preach to myself. I've got to preach to myself. I don't know about you, but I need to tell myself, God, you'll give me the faith for this. Or God, I believe that your hand is upon me. Or God, I believe that you're working all these things out to bring about good because I love you and I'm called according to your purpose. So every now and then, you have to speak to yourself and encourage yourself with words of life and words of affirmation. So encourage yourself, not just that you can do it. I'm not saying that. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself, but that God can do it through you. Encourage yourself in the things of the Lord. I like to say it this way. If you want to see it, then say it. Say what you want to see. Now, let me qualify that first, because probably some of your alarm bells have just gone off. Let me qualify that. What I'm saying, I'm not saying blab it and grab it. I'm not saying you can say that I want a Mercedes Benz in my garage in Jesus' name, okay? I'm not promoting any form at all of the prosperity doctrine. I'm not into that. But I am talking about saying what is consistent with God's truth. That's important. Saying what is consistent with God's truth. God, I believe you want to bless my marriage. And you say it. You say that. You say what you want to see. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain. He didn't say, if you talk about the mountain or think about the mountain. He said, if you speak to the mountain and have faith to see it removed, then it will be removed. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. In the book of Ezekiel, God said to Ezekiel, speak to the dry bones. He didn't say talk about the dry bones. He didn't say think about the dry bones. What did he say? He said speak to the dry bones. So if you want to see it, then you need to say it. You say, God, I believe that you're going to work in my life. God, by faith, I believe that you're going to heal that person that I'm praying for. God, by faith, I believe that you're going to help us get out of debt. And if you want to see it, then you have to say it. Your internal dialogue, the words that you speak to yourself, is very, very important. In fact, it's so important, because if you want to change your world, if you want to change your life, then you need to change your words. If you want to make a big difference in the way that you live, make some small changes in the words that you speak, because there is power in your words. So if you're struggling with your life choices tonight, and the words that you speak, perhaps your words are on the negative side of that audit, on that scale, because you're a bit of a self-doubter. And so that if that's you, I want to give you one small life-changing phrase tonight, okay? Every time you speak, apply this promise, apply this statement. Immediately following whatever you say, add the words, and that's the way I want it. Every time you speak, say with integrity, and that's the way I want it. But let me just qualify that. For example, if you're talking about your marriage and you say, guess what? And you say, oh, I'm sick and tired of being married. I'm probably going to end up, it's going to end up in divorce, and that's the way I want it. No, I'm not saying that, okay? You know, that doesn't work. You know, you get on my nerves so much, and I wish I'd never married you, and that's the way I want it. No, I'm not talking about that, okay? Your words are powerful, and some of you are saying that stuff and even worse things to each other. My challenge to you tonight is to have some integrity, and what you say to others, and even more importantly, what you say to yourself. So instead, you say, you know what, my marriage isn't going well right now, but I'm going to surrender my heart to the Lord because that's the way I want it. All right? I know we're in debt right now, but we're going to learn to live beneath our means, and with God's help, we're going to climb out of debt so we can be generous and give back to God's ministry because that's the way I want it. And if you want to make a big difference in the way you live, then you need to make small changes in the words that you speak. Your thoughts matter because they become your words. We saw this last week. Your thoughts matter because they become your words. Your words matter because they become your actions. Your actions matter because they become your habits. And your habits matter because what you do and say repeatedly is who you become. So, in week number one, I asked you to focus on one small thing. Having one word that would drive and direct your upcoming year, the year of 2015. Now, if you didn't catch that message, or last week's message, I'm pretty sure they're up on the church website, www.newstart.org.au. Then click on the on the podcast page, and Lucas and Steve are doing a great job keeping all those messages up to date. Thanks a lot, guys. Last week we talked about having one thought that would drive and direct our upcoming year. This week I want to talk to you about having one statement. One statement that you could say again and again that will drive and direct your year. One statement that can make a big difference in the way you live. Now, some of you are thinking, can my thought from last week be my statement for this week? And the answer is, of course it can. But here's where the rubber meets the road. It can't stay a thought, okay? It has to become a statement. You have to verbalize that. Now, not only do you think about things that are lovely, pure, admirable. Remember that was the scripture we used from last week, things that are pure, admirable, and excellent. But we also give it life, and we talk, and we take our life-giving thoughts, and we make them life-giving words. For For example, my one word from the beginning, in the introduction, my one word is health. And my one thought was found in the scripture that I chose in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 to 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So I have a thought that over and over again, and about what I can accomplish through a healthy soul or a healthy attitude or a healthy mind, a healthy body, a healthy marriage. So now I'm turning that into a statement, and I'm turning that into self-talk, yeah? And I will do my very best to have a healthy soul. I will do my very best to have a healthy attitude. I will do my very best to have a healthy mind, and so on and so on, because I will be better when there is health in the things that matter. I will be better when there's health in the things that matter. And I will have a stronger impact when I'm doing that in God's power and not my own efforts. And that's the way I want it, yeah? One small statement can make a big difference in your life tonight, because it's the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everybody wants. And if you can change, if you want to change your life tonight, you have to change the words that you speak. Because tonight words, excuse me, are powerful. They have the power of life and they have the power of death. So let's review. We don't speak life-taking words to others. We speak life-giving words to others. We don't speak life-taking words to ourselves. We encourage ourselves in the Lord. If we think something's not wholesome, or it's not decent, or it's not good, we're going to zip the lip, okay? But every time we think something is good, we're going to give life to it, okay? And how do we do that? By saying it. And we're going to bless others in what we say. And we're not going to let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Why will we do that? Because our words matter tonight. If we make small changes in the words that we speak, it will make a big difference in the life that we live. If we want to change our world, it's going to start by changing our words, because it's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everybody wants. So our good, positive, and wholesome words will glorify God, improve our relationships, and make us more like Christ, because that's the way we want it. So tonight, please help me to pray. As we bow our heads and the worship team comes forward, please help me to pray tonight. Father, we pray tonight that this one small truth would have an impact on marriages, on our relationships, on our friendships, on our families tonight. And it would help move our lives forward to become what you want them to be. And as we continue to pray and just ask, I just want to ask you one very, very simple and very simple question. If you would apply this tonight, how many would go before God and ask Him just for that one statement tonight? And don't just get a statement, but make that statement again and again and again, and give life to that. And you would say that statement over and over again, because you really believe that the small change in the words that you speak will make a big difference in the life that you live. And if that's you, would you say, yes, I will pray about that, Neil. I will seek God for that one statement that will help direct my year in 2015. If that's you, would you just lift your hand up and say, that's me tonight, because I want to pray for you if that's you tonight. Amen. I see these hands. Hallelujah. Honest hearts before God. Let me pray for you tonight. God, thank you so much for honest hearts tonight that truly want to glorify you in the way that they live. God, I pray that as they seek you, God, that you would take their one thought and help them make that into a statement for the year. God, give them a statement, one small thing that would change the way that they live. God, I pray that every time they speak words, that they give voice to words, that they would release, that they would hold on, sorry, tonight, that which is not helpful. They would zip the lip tonight, that they would hold on, they would not speak those words. But God, if it gives life tonight, I pray that they would say it, that they would set it free. And Father, I pray that every time we say something that is not pleasing to you and not helpful to others, that we would remember that's not the way that we want it tonight. I pray that we would allow our words to line up with your truth, because tonight that's the way we want it, and we want that in Jesus' name. Amen.